this hour. We'll look at the story of the days of Noah, and in the next hour, the days of Lot, and then, Lord willing, Wednesday night on the body, where the body is, eagles gather. But Luke 17, read verses 20 through 20 and 21. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation or outward show. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." What he said unto them is, the king is standing right in front of you, and you don't know him. The kingdom of God is here, because Christ is the king who has all dominion. John said that when he was preaching. He preached to a lot of Pharisees. And he said, "There standeth one among you whom you don't know. But I know him," he says, "because the Spirit of God revealed Christ to John, didn't he? He descended on his shoulder." It's the same today. Many, many Pharisees, most religious people are Pharisees. And most talk about, are taken up with signs and events and this kingdom, but they're not taken up with the king. Many people want to talk about the coming of Christ that don't know the Christ who's coming. God's people are taken up with him. It doesn't matter when he comes or what happened. They're waiting on him. Verse 22, so he starts talking to his disciples. He said unto the disciple, you see that? Now he's talking to them. He says, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man." He said, "There's going to be a day when I'm not going to be with you, and you're going to desire me. Just one more day with me." And don't you know that they were constantly berating themselves for not listening, not heeding, not being more thankful for every day they had with our Lord? And then he was gone. And those 3 days he was gone were the worst days of their life. And then they saw him ascend, and they were standing there watching him, remember? Watching him. The angel said, "Don't gaze up into heaven, this same Jesus so come." Well, they didn't know when. They was hoping it'd be the next day. But he's gone now. He's their father. He's their mother, if you will. Their Lord, their Redeemer, their provider, their everything. He was their life, and now he's gone. And that's what he's saying. Is that going to be a day when you'd like to just see one day with me? So he's the desire of God's people. David said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none I desire on earth but him." David said that. Christ truly is the life of his disciples. He's the desire. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." What, David? "That I might behold the beauty of the Lord. I dwell in his house all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord." I just want to be with him. See him. Paul said that. "I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord." Didn't. "Oh, that I might win Christ, be found in him." Christ is the desire. He really is. And that separates Pharisees from his disciples. God's people, Christ's people, his bride, come here to be with him. And we come here and say, "Lord, please, I want to be with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to meet with you. I want to worship. I want to see your glory," don't we? That separates disciples from Pharisees. We could get a big crowd if we talked about the apocalypse. Big, huge crowd. Events, signs leading up to him. But our Lord plainly said, no sign given. None. But the sign of the prophet Jonas. What's that? Christ crucified. So he said that. Now, verse 23 and 25. "They shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them." Don't follow them. "Look, they're rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem." So what? Lord, just tear it down again. He tore down every physical temple. That's what people worship, isn't it? One time they found, was it in Hezekiah's day, they found the serpent on the pole? Hezekiah? They found the serpent on the pole and they were worshiping it, like they do the Shroud of Turin, so to speak. Like they would do the Ark if they found it, or the cross of Christ. They, but Hezekiah had it ground to powder and strewn on the water and had them drink it. So he called it Nehushtan. What's that? A worthless piece of brass. That serpent on the pole didn't save anybody. It was an emblem, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. We don't worship things. And so we don't run here or run there. We don't have to. Why? He's in our midst. He's among us. He's with us. We know He is. You ask me how I know He lives? The song said, He lives within my heart. He walks with me and talks with me. All God's people know, see the kingdom, know the kingdom because they know the King. Verse 24, he says, as lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Men talk about a secret rapture. Secrets? Lightning? All eye, every eye shall see him, Scripture says. Like lightning. How significant. The Son of Righteousness. Lightning is one of the greatest displays of power and light in the universe, next to the sun itself. In fact, they say it has more wattage than the sun itself. One bolt of lightning. How significant it is that the first thing God said, the first thing God created was, let there be light. And the last thing people are going to see is the light, Christ. Every eye. I don't believe him. Yeah, you're in darkness. We do, don't we? We do. Because God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John, never get tired of quoting that. That's what happened up here. That's what happened to me, John. I was in darkness even as others. But light surrounded me. Paul didn't see the light. The light surrounded him. Christ came. The gospel's not a rod and a fishing rod with a lure, an artificial lure on it, trying to lure people, bait, like men use today to bait people to come in. It's a net. A gospel net. What's a net do? It surrounds you. It lays hold of you. You can't get out. If the Lord sends His gospel by His power, you ain't going anywhere. You're coming to Him. You're coming into His ship. See, oh, Hank Williams, I saw the light. No, you didn't, Hank. You just made millions on that song. No believer says, I saw the light. They say, thank God He saw me. Thank God He looked on me. Thank God He apprehended me. Thank God He chose me. I would not come. Thank God He said, you will come unto me. That's the good news for those without God, without Christ, without hope. The lightning, the secret rapture. We're going to talk about that when we get to two taken, and or two together and one taken. We're going to talk about that later. All right. Now he says in verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He was rejected of his generation. And the generation he was speaking of is our generation. This is the last generation, 2,000 year generation. Adam to Abraham, Abraham to Christ, and Christ till he comes back. And so this generation, he kept talking about all these things. This generation shall not pass away. These are the last day. When Christ walked this earth, it was the last days. Okay? He must be rejected. He must suffer many things. Christ came to suffer. This is what the Jews didn't like, didn't believe. They didn't know. They read the scriptures, but they just didn't know that Christ must suffer according to the scripture. The whole Old Testament, all those lambs, turtle dove, bullocks, and all that blood that was shed, everything, the mercy seat, the blood is typical of Christ crucified. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to be an offering to God, a burnt offering, to suffer. To suffer the wages of sin. He didn't sin, but we sin. God's people sin. He came to put away sin. And the Jews thought that the Christ was coming just to make the Jews have this happy kingdom again. That's all they wanted, like people today. Pie in the sky. My dad from Alabama, he used to always talk about religion wants pie in the sky and a sweet by and by. A little cabin in the corner of glory with mama. And that's the truth. God's people want him. But no, Christ didn't come to set up a carnal utopia here. He came to suffer. The just for the unjust. That's why he came. And the Pharisees didn't like that. They didn't need that. They weren't sinners. The Pharisees, most religious people aren't sinners. Okay, we believe on Jesus. We accept his sacrifice. We accept all that. Let's go on to other things. Right? We're no longer sinners. We cleaned up our act. We don't need to hear about that blood anymore. Let's talk about the victory. What is the victory? It's what Christ obtained. But Pharisees didn't need mercy. They didn't need righteousness. They didn't need forgiveness of sin. They didn't need blood. They didn't need an atonement. They weren't sinners. Nor will you find many today. Sinners. And if you do, you know what they want to hear all the time? Christ crucified. All right? So this is connected with what he says about Noah. Okay? You know how few people were in that ark? Why? They weren't any sinners. They didn't believe God was holy. They didn't believe God was just. They didn't believe God would by no means clear the guilty. They didn't believe God would punish sin. They didn't believe there was sin. God hates it. People and they're going to destroy people, and you'd say there's one way, Noah, one way? That's ridiculous. I'll have you know, I've been believing God all my life. We'll see. If you do, you'll get in the ark. So this is connected. Verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, our Lord, said, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, when he comes, and they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day he destroyed that world. They didn't have a clue. When the flood came and destroyed them all. Did you read the bulletin article by Matthew Henry? Did you have time to look at it? That Matthew Henry and these men, preachers back then and now, God's true preachers, are not fools. They're wise men, like Solomon, like Isaiah, like Elijah, wise men, wiser than the men of their generation. They're given wisdom from above. Well, Matthew Henry said that calculated, those who could, that there was as many as 11 billion people on the earth at the time of the flood. He said some had it as high as 80 billion people. Is that possible? Yes. 1950, the population was around 3 or 4 billion people. Right now, it's 10 billion. In 50 years, 10 billion. If the Lord doesn't come in another 50 years, how many will be? That's a lot of people in there. 8 souls on the ark. They asked the Lord, are there few that be saved? We're going to find out. Oh boy. So let's look at this a little bit. This won't be a full message on the ark, Noah's ark. We've preached so many times. But this will it be a message, an urgent message like our Lord gave it, as in the days of Noah. Let's look at the days of Noah. Now, and we should not, and we do not try to prove God. We don't do it. God doesn't prove himself to men. He reveals himself. God doesn't prove himself. Well, if he prove himself, I believe it. Day unto day, utter speech. The heavens declare his glory. No, God's not going to prove himself to unbelieving man that hates him. No, sir. He reveals himself to some of those who hated it. Thank God. And we know. We believe. We see it because he's revealed himself to us. We don't try to prove the flood. I'm not going to do that. We declare it. God's word says it. Christ talked, Ricky, Jesus Christ talked about the flood. He talked about hell more than anyone else. Jesus Christ. We believe him. Don't care what the world says. I don't care what science. I don't care what anybody in this world says. I believe Jesus Christ, don't you? All right, he talked about Noah and the flood. He said, as in the days of Noah, that's the way it's going to be when I come. All right, let's look a little bit at Noah. Let's look at Noah's day, Noah's ark briefly, and the message. Noah, look, who was Noah? 1 Peter 3, go over there quickly. You have to turn fast because I've already gone 20 minutes. 1 Peter 3, look at this. Who was Noah? Well, he was a preacher. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 18. He said, Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Who's Peter writing to? God's people, the church. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See that? He's talking about Christ crucified. That's the message. By which, the Spirit that is, by the Holy Spirit, this is not Christ going to preach to people in hell. No, sir. It's the Spirit of God through the preaching of Noah to those who were right then, when Peter wrote this, in hell. That Noah went and preached. Noah preached every day for 100 years. Look at it, verse 19. He preached unto the spirits in prison right now, which sometime were disobedient, unbelievers, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. So Noah was preaching for 100 years as he was preparing that ark. Hebrews 11 says, to the condemnation of the world, to the saving of his house and the condemning of the world. And he became an heir of righteousness by faith. He believed God. What? That God is holy. That God is just. That God is angry. And Noah believed, I'm a sinner. I need grace in the eyes of the Lord. I need mercy. I need salvation. I need a place, a safe haven. I need a covering. I need pitched. Covered. I need to be found in that ark, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. Noah, God revealed that. And that's what Noah preached. That's who Noah preached for 100 years. Judgment's coming. God is holy. God is holy. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. This ark is Christ. This one way. This is the truth. This is life. Outside of it, God's a consuming fire. This world's going to perish. Rain's going to fall. Rain never fails. Genesis 2, verses 5 and 6 says that there was no rain. That God watered the earth by mist. So nobody believed. Rain? What do you mean? Rain? Water coming out of heaven? Seriously? God, no. Come on. Is water coming out of the heaven? We all know where water comes. It comes from the ground. Look at the rivers and lakes and streams and the mist and the dew. That's where water comes from. It's going to come out of the sky, so much of it, it's going to destroy all of us. Noah, you're a fool. Isn't it significant? Men take rain for granted now and they complain about it. Fire is going to fall.
fire's going to fall. Who said so?
Jesus Christ. He's a preacher. The first thing, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. God spared not, and Peter talks about Noah and Lot. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. Noah preached that God is righteous, God is holy, God is just. It must be perfect. You must be righteous for God to accept you. And man is unrighteous. That's what Noah preached. God is righteous, man is unrighteous. God is holy, man is sinful. And there's nothing you can do about it. And there's only one hope for a sinner to be accepted by God. Hidden, covered in the righteousness of another. And that righteousness, the Romans 10 talks about, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. Have not submitted unto the righteousness of God. What's that? Jesus Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the Lord our righteousness, isn't it, Kelly? How do you know that? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't figure that out, did you? God sent a preacher to tell you. And God sent a preacher to tell everybody there's one righteousness. Christ, the righteous one, preached God's righteousness. He preached himself. I am the righteousness. I was a preacher. The world doesn't want to hear preachers. Okay? You're gonna end up in hell. Alright, Noah's day. Go back to Genesis 4. Noah was a preacher. Our Lord was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah condemned the world. Talking to a man the other day, and we start talking, and he wanted to know about our youth program. Well, I said everything our youth, we have for our youth, we do for our old people. We do one thing, we preach God's Word. We want them to know Christ. We preach the Word, which is Christ. That's all we do. Every time. He said, well, that's okay. Noah had one message for 100 years. Maybe some people at first were interested, don't you think? Like when Christ came preaching. John. Maybe at first. And then after a while, everything's fine. I don't see his wrath of God. That ain't into that. Okay. Genesis 4. Men, there were no cave men. That's ridiculous. The only cavemen are those now that are in science. They're leading, they're teaching in our universities. Cavemen. Man didn't start out on all fours, but that's where he is now. He's a worm. Started just and upright, brilliant. Adam was brilliant. So were all of his posterity. Look at chapter 4, verse 20. Ada bare Jabal, the father of such dwelling tents, and hath cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. His father of all handled the harp and the organ, and Zillah, and Tubal-Cain, and instructor of artificer in brass and iron. They were brilliant people. And they had long lives. Chapter 5, they lived 900 years. Would you know how to play the harp if you played it for 900 years? We brag on Mozart. We brag on Chopin. We brag on... Can you imagine? Or the artificers and brass and iron and cattlemen and horsemen. These were brilliant people. Lived a long time. Chapter 6, Genesis 6. Here's the days of Noah. And man, you know, the longer he lives, the smarter he thinks he is. Right? And they seek out many inventions. Scripture talks about that. Seek out many inventions. They began to come up with all sorts of inventions. And man thought he was a god. Look at what we've done. Look at what we can do. And Genesis 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Giants. That sound like now? People are getting bigger, aren't they? Aren't they ready to get bigger? Oh. Man thinks he's high and lifted up and mighty and proud. And our Lord said in his warning, he said, all they think about is eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They married wives, multiple wives. And if you read Matthew Henry on this, oh, he talked of the great wickedness that prevailed on the earth through multiple wives and all the incest and corruption. His description of the earth sounds like right now. It's just, you open up, he said, you open up the roofs of the houses all over this world and you would be shocked. Filth. That's what God saw. And God said, I'm done with it. It's over. He said, man's day is going to be 120 years. The longer he lives, the worse he gets. And in Genesis 6, he said, God looked on the people of the earth. He said that the whole earth had corrupted his way. The whole earth, 11 billion people or however many it was, it spread out all over the world. What were they doing? They weren't worshiping God. They weren't thanking God. God was not in all their thoughts. They were thinking about a lot of things. God wasn't one of them. In fact, they came to the point where they didn't believe there was a God at all. And God said, okay. He said, I will destroy man. And he spoke in a language we can understand. It repenteth me that I made it. God doesn't repent. He's not a man. It was all purposed by God. He knew, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. He knew that. He knew that. But he spoke in a language we can understand to say, I wish I'd never created him. He's that filthy. And what I'm going to do is just wipe him out. I'm done with it. That's the language we can understand it. But God, rich in mercy. I remember a preacher years ago saying that God is merciful, so God must show mercy. I remember as a young believer not thinking that. But John, it's so. If he's mercy, that's his name, merciful. Who's he going to show mercy to? Gotta show mercy. He said, I will show mercy. He must. God is grace. God is love. God's greatest glory is forgiveness. It's the glory of a man to pass by transgression. He has to, according to his character. But it's on whom he will. It's on whom he will. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And whom I will, I hardeneth. How's that? Leave you alone. That's all he got to do. Leave you alone. Only way you'll be softened is for him to be gracious to you. To have cause the rain to fall on you. Like he said, my doctrine shall come down like rain. Not destroying rain, but softening rain. Soften that old hard heart. Now you believe me, don't you? I sure do. Not until then. They ate and drank and married and given in marriage, and isn't that what the world, that's all the world thinks about today. That's it. Lot, they were buying, selling, building, planting. That's what the world thinks about it. Isn't it? Until the day. There's 7 days. I love Noah's Ark. Don't you love the story? Don't you love the type of Christ in all the ark? Everything about the ark. Give me 30 more minutes. Oh, everything. Noah is Christ. His name means rest. Noah is the one who found favor in God's eyes, and he said, thee have I seen righteous in this generation. That's Christ. Noah's a picture of Christ. Preacher of righteousness. That's Christ. Noah, come thou in all thy house. Noah, you're the one I've seen righteous. You're the one I'm going to save people through. Noah, you're the one that's going to go out and gather them. They're not going to come of their own will. You're going to go get them, Noah. Go bring them into the ark. And everybody that's with you, Noah, in the ark, I'm going to save them. Every single person that's with you, Noah, in the ark, God says, I will save them. That ark is Christ. Noah is Christ. Christ is all. The only reason any animal came onto that ark was Noah went and got them. And they followed him right willingly. They came onto that ark, a lion, a wolf, a wild ass's colt, dropped his head and followed Noah like a puppy dog. That's our Christ. He came to seek to save his own and bring them to himself. The message hasn't changed. Christ said, as in the days of Noah, this is what all men are going to be thinking about. It's all men are going to be doing, but God has brought us to himself through the preaching of Christ. The preaching of men, like Noah. The preaching of Christ, whom Noah preached, whom Noah represented. The trumpet is about to sound. I didn't say that. He did. I told a young woman one time, I said, well, you can either take God at his word or take your chances. And that's a chance you don't want to take. There's only one person in this universe that cannot lie. And that's our God. That's his Christ. And he said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the days of the Son of Man. I'm coming very soon. Okay.